Welcome to this episode of Talk with Parents Doc. Today we're going to discuss kindergarten readiness. We're going to talk about several different topics, skills, and ideas to help your little one get off to the best start possible. The biggest takeaway, though, that I hope you get from this episode is to stop playing the comparison game. So many times we compare our children to other children, and the truth of the matter is every child learns in a different way, at a different pace, and in their own time. I hope that this episode will relieve some of the pressure brought on by what we feel our children should know and what it really takes to give your kids the best start possible. Your child is like no one else's, and I think most of you will find that your child is actually more prepared for kindergarten than you think. I am so excited about this episode because this is my niche. This is the grade that I love to teach for so many reasons. So I'm excited that you're here to listen. We're going to talk about three main topics today. Things that are important for your child to know before starting school, some suggestions on what would be helpful for them to know to give them a head start, and finally, we'll talk about what they will learn throughout their kindergarten year. I have spent many years teaching full-day kindergarten, and it is absolutely my favorite grade to teach. I promise to do my best not to go on and on forever with this episode, but there is so much to talk about. I love that there are so many families out there that want to know what their child needs to know before starting kindergarten. I love that people are asking questions. I love that kindergarten is a hot topic right now in politics. I love that there are a lot of conversations going on about early childhood education. In President Biden's $1.8 trillion American Families Plan, he put some effort into creating more funding for early childhood education. I appreciate the fact that they are considering how expensive daycare can be, childcare can be, how expensive preschool can be. But I do want to mention that although I appreciate that there are focuses on that and that we do need more funding for that, there's a whole thing that is being looked over here, and that is whether or not kindergarten is mandatory in every state across the country. If you missed my first podcast discussing statistics on kindergarten, go ahead and go back and listen to that because I'm not going to get into that too much here because it's a little bit confusing. So you might want to check that out. But I am so excited that there are conversations being made around kindergarten. As a kindergarten teacher, I see and get asked the question all the time, what does my kid need to know before going to kindergarten? How many of you have heard or seen that quote, "Everything I need to know, I learned in kindergarten"? Did you catch that word, learned? That's right. Your child does not need to know everything before going to kindergarten because they will learn it while they go through it. There are a few tips I am going to provide to ensure your little kindergartner has the best start to their academic career that we could all hope for. And I also want you to keep in mind that I am talking about public school. I'm talking about the public school system. So I'm not talking about specialized schools. I'm not talking about magnet schools. I am not talking about charter schools. I'm not talking about Christian schools or private schools. I'm having a very general discussion about the public school system, which varies vastly across the US. But for the most part, many of the things that your child needs to know to go to kindergarten are not necessarily academic. I think that there are a lot of people out there who think, oh my gosh, my child has to know how to do this. They have to know how to do that. They have to know how to count. They need to know their letters. They need to know all of these things. And I have to cram all of this into their little five-year-old brain before they even set foot in school. How I want you to think about kindergarten readiness is kind of like cooking a new recipe. And for those of you out there who don't cook, try to think of this analogy in a little bit of a different sense. But this is what I want you to think. The other night, I found this recipe in this new cookbook that I bought. And yes, I do still buy cookbooks because rummaging through the internet trying to find recipes for me has just become too much. I just want a book. I want to open it. I want to see what looks good. I want to touch it. I want to feel it. So I bought this new cookbook and I went through and I found this recipe that sounded really good. I knew I had all of the ingredients for it. I planned the day of the week that we were going to eat it. And that night came and I always make this mistake. I underestimate myself in how long a recipe is going to take to make. So when I see that on the page, it says that the whole thing is going to take 30 minutes. You know, Rachel Ray's 30-minute meals. I do know that for me, that's still going to take 45 minutes to an hour. I mean, who am I kidding? I don't cut that fast. I don't chop that fast. I have to get out my pots and pans. I don't have my little bowls all prepped and ready to go. But when a recipe says that it's going to take maybe 20 minutes, I, for some reason, Take that 10 minutes between 20 and 30 and think, I can do this super fast. Well, this recipe did not take that long to put together. However, there were some things in this recipe that I could have done to make the process go a little bit smoother and a little bit quicker. Although I had all of the ingredients, I neglected to think that in the time that they are allotting for the total time of this recipe, that is not cooking the bacon. Now, how long does it take to cook bacon? Well, I have an air fryer, but I did not have regular bacon. I was working with turkey bacon, and I wasn't sure if it would come out too rubbery or what to do. So I knew I needed to be safe, and I needed to cook it in the pan. Now, granted, it doesn't take that long to cook turkey bacon. However, if I had remembered that I needed to cook the turkey bacon first, it would not have taken as long. And then it just seemed like the rest of the recipe, even though it was very easy and it was very simple, it just seemed like it did not flow as quickly or seamlessly as it could have if I had actually read through the entire thing and had told myself that's the time that it takes once everything is cooked and chopped and ready to go. That's not what you're dealing with. Now, in the end, the recipe that I made turned out just fine. It was very tasty. It was very simple and it was fine. There was nothing wrong with it. My kids even ate it. My husband loved it. We all enjoyed it. There were just these simple little things that I kept thinking, if I had done this, it would have gone a little bit smoother. So what I want you to take from that analogy when we're discussing kindergarten readiness is that I can give you some of these tips and I can give you some of these goals to have prior to your child starting school. It will help things go a little bit smoother. It will help with a more seamless transition. If you do not have all of these things ready to go, if your child does not have all of these skills already prepared, they still most likely will turn out fine. The beginning of their school year may not be as smooth, or it may not be as seamless, or it may not be as prepared as somebody else's, but they still will most likely turn out fine. Some kids' brains just take a little bit more time to develop. And I have had plenty of parents who have worked with their child who have touched on a lot of these things that I'm going to discuss. And it's just a matter of how their child learns and how their child is developing. And there's nothing wrong with that. There are lots and lots of support systems out there that can help with that. In kindergarten, when you're dealing with a whole bunch of different situations, it's just nice to know what some of these things are that could give your child the best start to their year ever. What I want you to do is I want you to take some notes. I want you to consider which things you think are things that your child already knows, things that you can be working on. And you can work on these things through the summertime. You can work on these things at bedtime. You can work on these things in the bath, in the car. There are a lot of things that I'm going to discuss that are very easy for your child to pick up. If you haven't been working with your child, if there's some things that you're just like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that, just start doing it now. Kids pick up things very quickly, especially when it's repetitive. When you get your child into a routine and you're practicing things and you're going over skills over and over and over again, and as much as it will become a bore to you, it's something that their mind is starting to process and digest. And so the more they do it, the quicker they'll learn it, and the more they will train their brain to learn a new skill. Just as I mentioned in the beginning, I'm going to break this podcast down into three parts: things that are essential to know before starting kindergarten, things that are helpful to know, and things that they do not need to necessarily know, but they will learn. We will discuss a little bit of literacy, math, science, social studies, life skills, and social and emotional needs. I'll also give you some ideas of how to work with your child when preparing them for school. And this could be like a few minutes a day. I mean, this is not like you're going to set aside a whole entire hour with your five-year-old. And we'll finish up with some tips that will help ease your child into their first day, their first week, their first month, and their entire year. And some of these things might help ease your anxiety and emotional roller coaster about them going to school too. First biggest tip is that you want to get your kid excited about school. You want them to be able to look forward to this. You want them to know that this is going to be an exciting time, and you want to be excited about it too. Sure, you can be nervous, you can be scared, and so can your child, but really try to rev them up to get excited about their coming school year. So I'm going to begin by talking about some life skills. Life skills are things that you need to be able to live life. Things that are like hand washing and bathroom etiquette. I will start with hand washing because, of course, hand washing these days is essential, and most kids, luckily, know how to do this. They've been doing it in their home, in their daycares, or wherever they have been going. People have been asking everybody to hand wash. So your child does need to know how to wash their hands appropriately. And here's a little song for you. Front, back, in between. Get those hands nice and clean. So your kids know they need to wash the front side, the back side, in between their fingers. Get them nice and clean. And then they need to know how to pull out a paper towel. And only one. Possibly two, but not three or 10 or 20 or the whole entire thing. So be sure to talk to them about that. They obviously need to know bathroom etiquette. Oh my goodness, this is one of the most important things to know. Your child will be going to the bathroom by themselves. They will go into the bathroom by themselves. They will come out of the bathroom by themselves. And in fact, it is not legal for a teacher to be in the bathroom with your child alone. So if there is a bathroom emergency going on, I have to stop my class. I have to go get another teacher or send actually one of my students to go get another teacher to come in so that we can both watch your child at the same time to get the situation under control. I also then have to find somebody to watch my class because kids cannot be unattended for a length of time. So bathroom etiquette includes not playing with the toilet seat, putting the toilet seat up or down, where to actually go to the bathroom in the toilet, wiping. This is huge, guys. This is huge. I know a lot of people just automatically think that at 5 years old, a child can wipe themselves, but you would probably be amazed at how many kids come to kindergarten that have never wiped themselves. And I will tell you that I do not blame them now because this is not something that I thought about with my own son until about the beginning of this year when he was 4. I just, you know, take it upon myself to help him wipe. And at one point I was like, oh, you're going to have to do this at school by yourself. So please help them with wiping. They need to flush the toilet and then they need to clean themselves up with their hand washing and no playing with the sink and water. Please. No playing with the water. And also one more note, they need to close their door. There are so many kids who go to the bathroom at school and they don't close the door or the bathroom stall. Some kindergarten classrooms have a bathroom inside of their classroom, which is amazing. Some don't. They have to go down to the general bathrooms in the school and they have to use the stalls. So please work with them on how to open and close those because there are a lot of times when kids start to panic because they might be able to get in them, but they can't get out of them. Brushing their teeth. Yes, it is fairly obvious when your kid comes to school and they haven't brushed your teeth. And I know there are some mornings where you're in a rush and it's forgotten, but please, kids need to brush their teeth. They do need to know how to blow their nose and how to throw away their own Kleenex. Super important. They also need to have some signs of independence. So they need to be able to clean up their toys, pencils, crayons, papers, and they need to be able to throw away their own trash. You can practice this at breakfast time. You can practice this at dinner time. You can practice this, of course, when they're playing with toys inside, outside, wherever it is. But they do need to have signs of independence. They need to put on their own shoes. And that includes knowing how to tie them if they are not Velcro, which thank the Lord, somebody did come up with Velcro shoes, which I know has made it so kids don't really learn how to tie shoes, but Velcro is awesome when it comes to being in a hurry. They need to know how to get themselves dressed. This will help you in the morning. It will help you get out the door faster. And they also need to know how to get themselves dressed in case they have an accident at school. Again, I cannot go in the bathroom. I cannot touch your child unless your child is in danger or I see that they are really freaking out about something or there's probable cause for me to help your child clean up. I am not allowed to touch them. So they need to be able to get dressed themselves in case of an accident. There are situations where we have to send kids to the school nurse and then that's a little different, but I'm just saying in general, they need to know how to dress themselves. Knowing how to do a button, snapping, that includes their backpack, jackets, shirts, pants, and please on the boys, don't forget their belt. There have been many situations where my kids have to go to the bathroom, but they cannot undo their belt. So make sure you've got that. And some other life skills that they need to know is they need to understand how to follow a 2-to-3-step direction. So for example, please pick up your crayons, put them in the basket, and then put them in the top drawer. Try to get them to do more than one thing. Don't just tell them, you know, remember to pick up your things. Please put that away. Please be very specific with what you're asking them to do and ask them to do 2-to-3 things at the same time. This helps them with memory and it helps them with focus and paying attention. And also the last thing for life skills that I have is try to get your child to complete a task before asking for help. So this goes along with independence. If your child is struggling to put on a shirt or they get frustrated with putting on their shoes, try to encourage them to try it a different way before they even ask you for help. Instead of saying, I can't get this on, and then getting completely frustrated, just let them know, did you try turning it around? Did you try the other foot? Maybe un-Velcro the shoe first and then encourage them to ask for help. I was looking at some stuff for the preparation for this podcast, and I saw somewhere where I believe it was actually LeapFrog had a kindergarten readiness checklist. And one of the things that they had on there was for kids to actually know how to ask for help or how to ask a question. Many five-year-olds may know how to ask for help. They may not know why they're doing it. If they do know how to ask a question before they come to school, that's fantastic, but they will learn that at school. So those are the things that they absolutely need to know before coming to kindergarten. Some of the life skills that are helpful to know are holding a door for someone, what it means to interrupt. You can talk to your kids about not interrupting an adult, a parent, a teacher. It's very helpful for them to know how to share, but they will still learn that in kindergarten. You can practice sitting quietly. Something that is extremely helpful to know is opening items in their lunchbox, how to open Ziploc bags, string cheese, juice boxes, including the straw. Those things are extremely helpful in the cafeteria, especially for kindergartners when the teacher's assistant in the cafeteria is trying to run around opening up every kid's lunch. It just gets to the point where they start running out of time. So your child needs to know how to do that and also work with your child on being able to eat their lunch in about 20 minutes. And manners, asking for things to be opened with manners. Can you please open this? Thank you for helping me. And another thing that is helpful to know if your kid is not going to be bringing their own lunch to school, how to make a decision. Your school should be either posting a lunch menu or sending it home with the child every month. If your child is going to be having school lunch, please help them the morning of school to make the decision of what they want. In many kindergarten classrooms, when kids arrive, part of their job is that they have to post or tell the teacher if they're having school lunch or if they brought their own lunch, and then they have to pick what they're having. At the beginning of the year, kids will stand and look blindly at the chart and not know what to do. So just go through the lunch items. It's helpful for them to know what they're having. The life skills that your child will learn at school are raising their hand, forming a line, walking in a line. Although, if you've ever lived in or visited some certain European cities, forming a queue or a line sometimes seems like an impossible task. The difference between a question and a story. They'll learn how to take turns. Even some adults, though, don't learn that in kindergarten, but we'll just say that, you know, they should learn how to take turns in kindergarten. And they'll learn to become more and more independent, more responsibility and less reliance. They'll be able to just become their own little self. So I'm going to go into topic two, social and emotional skills. These are things that you really should be working on at home. Even though we reiterate all of these at school, these are things that kids should really be coming to school knowing that these are not acceptable. No hitting, biting, kicking, pushing, or yelling. And they need to know that rules and procedures exist because they keep us safe. The other thing that I want you to really, really talk to your child about, and I really am sorry that this is something that they need to know before coming to school at 5 years old these days, but they need to know that their body belongs to them. This is including a discussion on private parts. Like I mentioned, everything is safety first. I talked a little bit earlier that I cannot be in a bathroom with a child by themselves. There's really not a time where any teacher should be by themselves behind a closed door with a child. We all know that, unfortunately, there are cases that continue to come up in the public school system, in the private sector, in Christian schools, everywhere, where there are adults who prey on children. And it is so important for your child to know that their body belongs to them. And having a discussion about private parts, having a discussion about not keeping secrets, having a discussion on what secrets are okay to keep and what secrets are not really secrets, but are things that people might tell us, but that's not safe. They need to know that it is okay to tell adults when something happens. And again, I really know that this can be uncomfortable for some parents to talk to their kids about. In kindergarten, in a lot of schools, part of the curriculum is having this discussion. It is not detailed. It shouldn't be detailed. It was never detailed in the districts that I taught in. But we do generally discuss our bodies. And like I said, we do not get into details, but we do try to educate the kids on what is safe and what is not safe. And when your child is in a school building by themselves, that is definitely something that they just need to be aware of. Some of the things that are helpful for your child to know for social and emotional skills are to talk kindly to adults and peers. They also could know what a friend is. And this has been very weird because of COVID. And so that might sound a little odd, but a lot of kids have not been going on play dates and daycare centers have not been at full capacity. Kids going to school have kind of not been able to play with each other in some places. There's not as much activity going on, so they're not interacting as much. And so talking to your kid about what makes a good friend, what kind of friend they're looking for, is a great way to introduce peer pressure to your kids without actually using those words, because you're going to be talking about what kind of kid they want to hang around, what kinds of kids are kids that maybe aren't making good friends, not making good choices, that type of thing. It's also really important to have conversations with your kids about emotions. We will talk a lot about emotions in kindergarten. Your child will talk about emotions a lot as part of the curriculum in many schools, but it's really good for kids to know that emotions are real and it is okay to feel how we feel and to learn how to cope with those feelings. And in kindergarten, kids learn a lot about emotions. They learn a lot about actions and consequences. They learn a lot about interacting with peers and what it looks like for kids to kind of wig out a little bit. But they're going to see a lot in their classroom. You know, kids don't all come from the same home. And the way that anger is dealt with in some households, the way that crying is dealt with in some households, the way that laughing and what is appropriate to laugh at and what is not appropriate to laugh at is not dealt the same way in all households. The way that your child feels, let them know that that is okay. Talk to them about it, get them to express how they're feeling, and maybe start talking about why they feel that way and then what we can do from here to help making them feel better. And please also talk about happy feelings. I think there's a lot of emphasis put on some negative feelings that we get when we get sad, when we get down, but we don't really talk a lot about, like, man, I'm really happy. And I think that is even more important than talking about the downside of our feelings, because I feel like kids really need to know what happiness is and why it's okay to feel happy and what makes them happy. How can they remain happy? They have to start learning those things at such a young age, because that is what is going to help them to be mindful in the future. That's going to help them take better care of themselves. That's going to be their mental health coping mechanism as they grow older. And so it's really important to emphasize those good feelings too. And at the dinner table, ask your kids, what made you laugh today? You know, what was a struggle today? What made you laugh today? Even now, just talking about those positive emotions, I can feel a change kind of going throughout my body. So discuss emotions, talk about how they're real, both the upside and downside. The things that your child will learn in kindergarten for social and emotional needs, they'll learn the difference between a growth and a fixed mindset. And that's not the words that are going to be used in their kindergarten classroom. But if they have a solid teacher who has a growth-minded classroom, they're going to learn a lot about feelings. They're going to learn a lot about confidence. They're going to learn a lot about what they are really good at. They're going to learn about challenges. And this is a major topic that we're going to talk about in a future podcast as well. They're going to learn how to deal with their emotions. They're going to learn how to be a good friend. There's going to be a lot of role playing. There's going to be a lot of examples that they will see on why it is important to be friendly. It is really important to be kind to everyone. They will learn how to really ask for help. After trying things several times, they'll learn coping strategies, which will just be planting the seeds. A lot of seeds are planted in kindergarten. They're going to be learning coping strategies, how to build resilience, and those seeds that are going to be planted are just going to continue to grow with them as they get older and older and older. But all of that begins in kindergarten. They're also going to have discussions about bullying and bullying versus being unkind and how we treat other people. That kind of wraps up social and emotional needs. I'm going to move on into literacy skills because these are core subjects. I think this is where parents start to really kind of panic and they think, oh, my child doesn't know how to do this. My child doesn't know how to do that. Always, always, always keep in mind, your child is going to kindergarten to learn. That's why they go to kindergarten. They don't have to know all of this stuff before. It goes back to the recipe. The more they know before they get there, the easier it is going to be. They're kind of are on the fast track, or they're going to be a step ahead. But that's not to say that later on in the year when things pick up, they could fall a step behind. These are the things that really, when your child goes to kindergarten, will be super helpful for them to know to make it a seamless transition for both them and their teacher. So for literacy, really the only essential skills that your child really needs to know for literacy, which is reading. We're talking about phonics, we're talking about letters, sounds, their vocabulary, and we're talking about their comprehension, how they understand things. It's so important for your child to start kindergarten knowing what their name looks like. Their name is going to be on so many things in the classroom. It's going to be on their backpack cubby or their backpack hanger. It's going to be on their lunch tag. It's going to be on their name tag. It's going to be on baskets. It's going to be on paper. It's going to be on the word wall. It's going to be everywhere around the room. It is much easier for your child to start the year knowing what their name looks like than to have to learn it very, very quickly in the first week of school. They also need to know what a book is and how to treat it. That books can take us places. Books have pictures in them. Books have words in them. We use books in kindergarten for everything. It's not just read alouds. Kids get their own books. They get their own books to look at. They get their own books to read. They read books during quiet time. They read books during small group time. And these aren't necessarily children's books. These are not published books. They could be paper books. They could be wordless books. They could be books that I printed off for them. So they're using these things all the time. So they need to know how to treat them. That's really only the two necessary things. They need to be able to recognize their name, and they need to be able to know what a book is and how to treat it. These next things that are helpful to know, some people would consider skills that they need to know. I put them down as helpful to know because I know that not all kids come to school knowing this stuff, but they pick them up pretty quickly. They need to have an idea of what the letters are in their name. Not necessarily know them, but they need to know that those are letters. It's helpful if they know how to write their name. That would be a huge, big step for them to know how to do that at the beginning of the school year. It's helpful if they know what the difference between a letter and a number is, but I'm going to tell you, I have kids all the way through January, even up until May, that sometimes don't figure out the difference between a letter and a number. It's helpful for them to know the letters of the alphabet, but they do not need to know all of the letters. If they do know all of the letters and sounds of the alphabet, they are off to a phenomenal start for kindergarten. A great start, but it's not necessarily something that they absolutely need to know. So take that pressure off of yourself right now. It would be helpful for them to know that the pictures in a book are what help to tell the story. If your child can open up a book and tell a story, make up a story based off of the pictures, that is also a great start to have. It's also helpful if they know how to tell their own story with a beginning, middle, and an end. This can be about anything. My son goes out and he catches lizards all day. He could spend all day catching lizards. He comes back in the house and he'll tell us a story about it. And at first, he was telling a story all over the place. I knew there was a lizard. I knew there was a net. I knew kind of what house he was at, but I didn't quite get, you know, the beginning, the middle, and the end. So for the past several months, especially this year, we've been working on, okay, tell me from the start. What was the first thing that you did? What was the second thing you did? What happened next? What happened last? I coach him through the story to help him keep everything in chronological order. And as we have done that, he's learned that he really needs to start at the beginning. He needs to work his way into the middle, and then he can get to the end. Now, some kids, they just get excited. They just want to tell you, I found a lizard and this is what happened. Like, they tell you the beginning and they tell you the end because that's just all there is to them. But it is helpful if they know how to tell a story from beginning, middle, and end. And this is because this will help benefit them in the area of comprehension. This will help them to better understand stories. This will help them to better understand what makes up a story. You have the characters, you have the plot, you have the setting. So if they know those things, it will really benefit them with their comprehension. And this will take time. And it's also something they will learn in kindergarten. So that's one of the things that's helpful. What they will learn in kindergarten, they will learn all the letters and all the sounds and other rules of the alphabet, like the silent E, vowels, blends, digraphs, diphthongs. You know, those are the ch sound, sh sound. Or when two letters are together, sometimes they make the same sound or sometimes they make two different sounds. All these rules that really don't make sense to us in the English language, but this is how we talk. So they'll learn those. They'll also learn sight words. School districts across the U.S. require kindergartners to learn a certain amount of sight words. Sight words are the words that you see most in writing. The, a, and, my, I, can, go, to. Those are the words that kids will learn in kindergarten because those are the words that they're going to see mostly in the books that they're reading. The amount of words taught varies depending on what curriculum the school district uses and what the requirement for the district is. Some school districts can require kids to learn anywhere from maybe 50 to over 100 words. It depends on the lists they use. It depends on what the end of the year goal is for reading for kindergartners. So it varies. The bottom line is your child will learn sight words in kindergarten. They'll also learn word families. Word families are things like the ought word family. You have pot, spot, dot, lot. The and word family. Pan, can, man, fan. They learn those word families because it also helps with rhyming, which is another thing. And all of these things come down to patterns. So when your child is learning to read, we use the sight words, we use the word families, and we use rhyming. Because once kids can pick up a pattern, it becomes an easier process of learning how to read. Because now they're just switching some letters here and there. They'll also learn that print carries meaning and all concepts of print. Concepts of print are fluency, so how fast they're reading, vocabulary, phonics, phonemic awareness, and comprehension. They'll also learn sentence structure and how to write simple sentences. And I'm going to tell you right now that the writing requirement for kindergarten in most school districts is not age appropriate. The writing requirement for kindergarten can vary anywhere from writing 5 to 10 sentences by the end of the year. For a child to have to write basically a whole paragraph by the end of kindergarten, in my opinion, is a bit much. They're learning sentence structure and they're learning the basics of sentence writing. 3 sentences to me is quite all right. 3 sentences, you can get in a beginning, a middle, and an end. I can see a lizard. I put it in my net. I let it go. For 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds at the end of kindergarten, for me, that's sufficient. That's not the requirement of where I've taught in many places, but that also varies district to district. So that's literacy. That's pretty much what your child needs to know, what is helpful to know, and things that they will learn in kindergarten. So we'll move into math now, which math is very similar to literacy. The things that they do need to know before entering kindergarten are colors. Colors falls under math because there's a lot of patterns that we do. We use a lot of manipulatives, things that you move around with your hands, which can be anywhere from using buttons, using shapes, using blocks, anything that the kids can move around with their hands. We also divvy them up by color sometimes. So that's really important for them to know. It's important for them to know how to count to 10. That is simply because it's important to know that they do have that rote memorization, that they are able to count, that they know that numbers go in sequence. That tells the teacher a lot of things. Anywhere past 10 is great, but up to 10 is really what they need to know. And recognizing numbers 1 to 5, actually 0 to 5, is also something that I would say kids need to know. They need to know what a 0 looks like, what a 1 looks like, a 2, and 0 to 5 is a skill that they can pick up pretty quickly. Things that are helpful to know are shapes, and a lot of people think kids need to know shapes to go to kindergarten, but that's not necessarily true. It is helpful to know. And if your kid knows those, that is awesome. That's going to put them ahead. But it's not necessarily something that they absolutely have to know. Most kids do know them, but if they don't, they will learn them. And most kids pick them up very quickly. It's also helpful for them to know the difference between a letter and a number. And I think I mentioned that before, but that's also something, like I said, that sometimes takes kids a long time to figure out. It's also helpful if they know how to sort. So if you give your kids some M&Ms, you could have them sort them by color. Put the blue ones all over here, put the red ones here, put the green ones here. You can have kids sort things by shape, put the stars here, put the triangles here, put the squares here. You can have kids sort their toys, you can have them sort their clothes, you can have them do all kinds of things with sorting. And the things that your child will learn in math are how to count to 100. They'll learn patterns, AABB patterns, AB patterns. That means it's like black, white, black, white, black, white, or black, black, white, white, black, black, white, white. They'll learn all kinds of patterns because, like I said, math and reading all have to do with patterns. And once your child can pick up on that pattern and knowing that there is a pattern, their learning will become a little bit easier. They also will learn how to add numbers anywhere from 5 to 20. Most of the time in kindergarten, kids learn how to add through 10, but it could vary. And once kids pick up on the adding and subtracting, also some kids in kindergarten will learn how to subtract a little bit. They get that pattern and it comes very easy to them. So that pretty much sums up the math skills. If we move on into our topic number 5, which is social studies, this is kind of a fun one because, you know, social studies, we think of like the world around us and countries, continents, places we live, cities, states, statistics. They're not going to learn statistics in kindergarten. However, it is so important for them to know their address and phone number. And I know a lot of people don't even think about this anymore because we have our phones, we have other ways of getting around. But just think about it for a minute. If your child got lost today, would they know what their address and phone number are? And I know with phone numbers, they kind of have to learn two because mom and dad have a different phone number, but they need to know at least one and they need to know their address. I've also seen where people have written addresses inside of kids' shoes so that in case their kid does not know what their address is, somebody can look inside of their shoe and they can find it in there. But it is really important for them to still learn their address and phone number. It's also really important for your child to know your name. And this sounds really funny, but when I have kids come in for pre-assessments before kindergarten, I will ask them, what's your mom's name? And they'll say, mom. What's your dad's name? Dad. And the reason for this is in case your child got lost, and this actually happened to me, and I was so happy. I don't know if I was more excited that my son was found or that he knew what my name was. We were in a store and my son walked onto a different aisle and I didn't know where he went. We had always told him where to go if he gets lost in a store. This is when we were living in Italy, but we were on base. And so we were in a very small store. So I was not like really freaking out that I couldn't find him, but he knew exactly where to go. And when he went there, they asked him what his mom's name was. And of course he was crying because he was very worried and he was very scared, but they asked him what his mom's name was. And so over the sound system, I heard somebody say, could Aaron please come to customer service? Your son is waiting. And I was so excited. My son knew my name and I got there and, you know, we hugged and we were so excited to see each other. And it was all within like 2 minutes, but your child really needs to know what your name is. They also need to know their siblings' names. That's really important too, because in kindergarten, we talk a lot about families. We talk a lot about siblings. We talk a lot about brothers and sisters, not necessarily all cousins and everything like that. The more the merrier, but they do need to know their siblings' names. They also need to know what color car they have so that at pickup, it's much easier instead of saying, that's my mom, to say, I have a green car or I have a blue car. If you can teach them the make and the model of their car, that's even better. They also do need to know when their birthday is. This is important because they need to know when to expect their birthday to come. When everybody else is celebrating birthdays around them, it's important for them to know when their birthday is coming or if it already passed. And they also do need to know how old they are. The reason why these all fall under social studies in kindergarten is because we talk a lot about our environment. That includes ourselves. Some things that are helpful for your child to know are landmarks or points of interest around their home. We talk a lot about our favorite places to go. We talk about our favorite parks, our favorite restaurants, our favorite places to visit. In kindergarten, though, they will learn the city and the state they live in. They'll learn a lot about community helpers. Most kindergarten curriculums have community helpers. So, you know, first responders, police, fire, doctors, nurses, dentists, farmers, grocery workers. And they'll also learn about 911 rules and when and how to use it. And I've had kids go home and practice, so please let your kid know now that it's not something to practice when you get home, but they do learn about 911, but also that's something that's great to teach them now too. So that sums up the skills for social studies. Just have two more topics here, and topic number 6 is fine motor and physical activity. So the things that I truly believe kids need to know going into kindergarten is how to play with blocks or some type of manipulative. Kids really need to know how to build a tower with blocks. They need to know how to move things around. They need to know how to deconstruct something, whether it's Legos or Duplos or a puzzle, anything that they can put together and take apart. This really shows how their brain is working, how they're interacting with whatever they're playing with. And it also shows their ability to be able to copy something. If I make a tower, they make a tower. If I use three blocks, they use three blocks. So this is a skill that they really need to know how to do. And just to piggyback off of some of the other things that I have mentioned, they really do need to know how to hold a pencil and a crayon. Holding a pencil and holding a crayon is also great for their muscles in their hands. They will be using crayons and pencils a large part of their day, so they need to have that strength already built up. Otherwise, they're going to get tired very easily and they're not going to be able to complete their work, which could cause some challenges in the future. When I talk about holding a pencil and holding a crayon, please use regular size pencils and crayons. Please do not use the jumbo size crayons unless your child really, really has a hard time grasping the pencil or crayon. Typically in kindergarten classrooms, large jumbo crayons are not used unless, like I said, there's just a really big struggle with a pencil grip or a crayon grip. So just go ahead and use the regular size. They do need to know how to color. This is another one of those skills where some people think like, yeah, every kid knows how to color. But some kids come to school not knowing how to color and they do not need to know how to stay in the lines. They just need to know that when you're using a crayon, you use it to go onto the paper and you're using it to create something. So you're coloring something in or you're drawing something. Kids' drawings are very, very simple. A lot of kids entering kindergarten actually cannot draw a person. They do not have the concept of a body, a head, legs, arms. They really typically tend to draw a blob, what I call a blob, which is just a round object, and then they stick two eyes in it, and then they progress from there. Coloring can also be very calming. There are a lot of kids who can sit down and color and find themselves getting focused and can kind of soothe themselves a little bit and get back to the task that they're supposed to be working on. So coloring can also be used as a way of bringing kids back to their center. So coloring is a definite need to know for kindergarten. Already mentioned zipping, buttoning, snapping, tying, Velcro, belts. Those are all things that kids can practice doing before they come to kindergarten because those are skills that they need to know how to do. A kindergarten teacher does not have time to zip up 25 coats or button 25 jackets or get kids' shoes on if they've been taken off for any reason. So all of those fine motor skills are really important. Another skill that I want to mention is actually crossing the midline. Crossing the midline is when you take your right hand above your head and you can cross it over to the left side of your body. You can also do it from the left to the right. And this might seem like a very simple task, but if you have a child that cannot cross the midline, that cannot cross from one side to the next, this is showing how their brain is working. And crossing the midline also helps to show that kids have been able to meet milestones as an infant, rolling over, sitting up, crawling, walking, those types of things. So crossing the midline is of huge importance before going to kindergarten. If you notice that your child is not crossing the midline, then this is something that you can talk to your pediatrician about. But most likely by the age of 5, pediatricians have picked up on this. And so there's probably something that's already happening between you and a specialist at this time. Some things that are helpful to know for fine motor skills are, as I mentioned, cutting with scissors, which I know can be extremely scary to put a pair of scissors in your child's hands, but it really is helpful to know before getting to school. Pretty much on the second day of school, my kids always started cutting. Just go with the rule that scissors cut paper only, scissors cut only paper. We do not cut anything but paper with scissors. We carry scissors carefully. We practice carrying scissors. We do not usually leave our seat with scissors, but if we have to, this is how you carry them, that type of thing. Another helpful thing to know is how to trace shapes, lines, letters, numbers. Tracing is an excellent activity to strengthen those fine motor skills in the hands, to strengthen those muscles and those joints to get a good pencil grip. So tracing is great for kids to know how to do. And this last one is, I can't believe that we are in this day and age where I am going to say this, but another helpful thing to know, which I know especially post-COVID, most kids know how to do this, but it will be very helpful for your child to know how to use an iPad or some type of technology. The reason why I say that is because most schools, not all, but most schools are now equipped with smart boards. And smart boards are something that kids use during center time, the teacher uses throughout the day to teach lessons, and there's a lot of scrolling that has to be done. There's a lot of swiping, using a mouse, both a touchpad and a free floating mouse, knowing how to click things, moving around objects, and all those things are done throughout activities with the students and the teacher. So it is extremely helpful if your child already knows how to manipulate things with a mouse or with their finger, because it will just help them to become more independent if they are in a center and they have to do that. We all know that technology can be extremely frustrating, especially when you need it and it's not working. But technology is also a phenomenal tool that can be used in the classroom and is used in the classroom in so many ways. So the easier it is for your kids to adapt to the technology in the classroom, the easier the learning curve will be for them to pick up on the technology. And I guarantee it'll be a lot quicker than it took me to learn everything. Things that they will learn in kindergarten for fine motor and physical activities are, of course, that there's going to be constant movement. They'll sing, they'll dance, they'll move around the room, go out to recess. Most schools still have recess. They'll be able to hopefully go to PE. Some of the schools that I've worked in have not offered PE for the kids, but they've had something called music and movement or boost up. There's always physical activity involved in kindergarten, and lots of it. They will also learn how to use technology properly, about safety for technology, what they can click on, what they should not click on, what they need to be clicking on, how to log in. A lot of schools use apps and other types of computer software programs, and so the kids will learn how to get themselves going on their own. And they're also going to be learning some STEM and STEAM, which are more complex building activities, problem solving, teamwork, and goal setting. So they're going to be learning a lot about that stuff. They're constantly going to be using manipulatives during math, during reading centers. There's going to be a constant movement with their hands. They're going to be using their right hand and their left hand at the same time. They're going to be working a lot on getting quicker at things, getting around the room quicker, getting to their seat quicker. So there's going to be a lot of movement and a lot of fine motor skills going on in the classroom. The last topic that I have before I get to the very, very last thing that I want to touch on is topic number 7. And this, of course, is the importance of skills and play. The skills that your child needs in order to be ready for kindergarten are going to come through play. This is so, so super important. And unfortunately, a lot of kindergarten programs are not moving away from play, but they have moved more into that academic emphasis to where sometimes the kids may not be getting as much play as they should be getting, especially in the area of imagination and dramatic play. And this is something that has been very difficult for me as a kindergarten teacher, because I know the importance and the significance of having a great imagination and what kids can learn from interacting with each other and playing together and pretending together. And so they do need to know how to play when they come to kindergarten. We are in these COVID times where there are so many kids out of necessity, the necessary evil sometimes that technology can be, that we rely on as a babysitter. We have had to have our kids sit in front of devices for school. We've had kids had to sit in front of devices just to keep them occupied while we're trying to get work done. We're also dealing with a lot of kids who found that playing games over technical devices was a way to interact with each other, to socialize through that play of a game. But when we're talking about 4 and 5 and 6 year olds, they really do need to know how to play. They need to know how to get up and move. And that getting up and moving doesn't mean we get up and move for 5 minutes and then we're sitting back down and we have a choice to just sit out and stay out and we don't need to move anymore. Kids really do need to be active, dancing, singing, running, skipping, unless you're my dad. They need to know how to move. They can practice jumping, they can practice hopping, they can practice hopping on one foot. They can practice riding a bike. They can have races. They can play their own games. They can invent their own games, tossing a ball back and forth. But they do need to know how to play. Kids really need to know when they come to kindergarten the very, very basic skills of playing a game. Waiting their turn, playing as a team, rolling dice, picking a card, whatever it is. They need to know that this is where you start, this is where you end, and this is the in-between. And why? This encompasses so many skills that will lead to a more successful academic year for them. Yes, just through this game. Learning how to take turns, Taking turns is all over kindergarten. Throughout the entire day, they have to wait. They have to take turns. They have to raise their hand. Playing as a team. There are so many times throughout the day where kids are broken up into smaller groups and they have to work with each other. And if they know how to do that and they're familiar with that through playing a game, that whole teamwork process will just come a little bit easier to them. And it will also build leadership skills. Rolling dice. We roll dice all the time in math. We even use dice in literacy games. So knowing how to roll dice appropriately, not slamming it, not throwing it, is a great skill that they need to know. And they also need to know how to pick a card, a skill that will transfer over into picking a name out of a hat, picking a stick out of a can, picking who goes next. So they're learning these skills through a game that can be applied to their everyday activities. So it's super important that they know the basics of a game. Again, not mastery. They don't need to really know how to get through an entire game of Candyland at 5 years old. If they do, that is amazing. That's awesome. But if they don't, we'll get there. They just need to have the idea. They have to be introduced to it. It is helpful if they know how to play independently, how to play with others, and how to sing and move their body appropriately. And I say that because it might sound weird, but man, sometimes when I put on music in the classroom, kids go nuts. I don't know what people do at their dance parties in their house, but there is stuff going on all over the place. So make sure that the kids do know how to sing and how to move their bodies, but they can stay in a spot. They can still do the dance moves that they want as long as they are appropriate for a five-year-old. They do need to also know how to play by themselves for about a 5 to 10 minute or extended period of time, and also how to interact with others, which I also know COVID is another situation we're dealing with. Through play in kindergarten, they will learn how to strategize. They will learn how to take risks. They'll learn about winning and losing. You really can learn a lot more from losing than you can from winning. And that is something that we talk a lot about in class. We love to win. Everybody loves to win. But losing can help us be successful and lead us more towards mastery than winning sometimes can. They learn how to problem solve. They also learn how to teach others how to play. And this is something that is really great too. If your kid already knows how to play a game, it's so super helpful because they can also teach their peers to do it. And you know, just like parents and adults, sometimes we don't listen to certain people who are teaching us how to do something or telling us how to do something. Sometimes it takes a special person in the classroom. I can talk to the kids and teach the kids until I'm blue in the face about something. I can show them how to do it. I can interact with them. But sometimes it takes one of their own peers to actually show them and interact with them for them to get it. And of course, they'll also learn what happens when rules are not followed and we're not being safe. We do a lot of role playing in kindergarten because it's really the best way for the kids to see the appropriate way to interact with each other. The kids also love to pretend. They also love to take on different character roles and sometimes show off in front of their peers. There's a lot of that kind of play going on. So that wraps up the topics that I wanted to highlight. The last thing that I wanted to talk about is you may be wondering about the topic of science. I did not include science as an actual topic to focus on because kids, babies, are natural born scientists. The world around them is full of science. And naturally, when kids are born, they take on the role of trying to explore everything in their environment on their own. I mean, think about it. The stuff they put in their mouths, everything that they want to eat, the stuff that we think is disgusting, they want to sink their hands into, they're messy, they love to touch things and feel things, and their senses are just in overload. And when kids are naturally exposed to the environment around them, they are building the foundation of learning on their own. If we take all of those things away from them, we're taking away their natural ability to learn. And as frustrating as it is sometimes to just want to rip that stuff away from them and keep it out of their mouths and keep it away from them, we have to allow babies to crawl and to explore and to investigate, because those toddler years are really, really the most important years of brain development. Everything in the first 5 years of life has to do with exposure. When I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast that it will not take very long for your kids to pick up on things, what I really mean is that if your kids are constantly exposed to anything around them, if they're constantly exposed to touching and tasting and feeling and hearing and seeing, if they're constantly exposed to what letters look like, what sounds they make, counting, singing, learning through music, learning through dance, if they're constantly doing those things and it's not in a structured manner, they will pick it up. The worry comes when kids have not been exposed to these things on a daily basis. It doesn't mean that you have to sit down with your child and you have to literally show them flashcard after flashcard after flashcard, or you have to continually show them the same thing over and over and over, day in and day out. If your child has been seeing these things from a very early age and you have been talking about it with them and you explore with them and you learn with them and you do take on the role of a teacher, things will be easier for them. If the child has not been exposed to the world around them, school can sometimes prove to be very difficult. So the more science they have in their life from the very beginning of days, the easier transitioning to a new academic setting will be. So my job as their kindergarten teacher is to build the absolute strongest fundamental learning foundation possible, and that all revolves around investigation. It is my job to teach this through engagement, excitement, exploration, encouragement, independent learning, and feeling safe to be inquisitive, to ask questions that may not be very popular to, or I may not know the answer to, but questions that we will find the answer to. It's to get students to learn to ask questions out of curiosity and not out of desperation. I want to teach my kids how to ask questions like, why does it work that way? What makes it move? Not, can you help me? Will you do it for me? I can't do it. Can you just finish it? I am responsible for planting the seed and instilling a love of learning in your kindergartner. It is my responsibility to provide multiple levels of engagement and opportunities for children to become masters of curiosity. I set boundaries and structure, but not for the reasons of ensuring discipline and management. I set them to maintain a realistic learning environment where I can become the student and the students can become the teachers. I set goals that push my students to tap into new worlds of wonder and embrace the challenges so that the students are not robbed of the learning process. They're taught in the way only they can be taught. And this is, again, through the investigative, exploratory process, evoking so much excitement in them for learning, meeting their needs as individual students, knowing what it is they need to be pushed to the next level, and also knowing when it's my time to back off a little bit and give them time to continue to grow before moving on. And I don't know if you've picked up on it, but kindergarten is my absolute favorite grade to teach because kids come from all different backgrounds. There is no other elementary school grade where a teacher starts the first day of school not really knowing anything about her students, not knowing their background, not knowing if they've attended school before, not knowing anything about their families or what the last 5 years of their life have been like. I don't know if I'm getting kids who have already embraced learning. I don't know if I'm getting kids who have never been exposed to learning. I don't know if I'm getting kids who have been raised in a warm, loving, nurturing environment. I don't know anything about my kids except for the fact that I have 1 year to build the strongest foundation of learning that I can. John Dewey once said that if we teach today's students as we taught yesterday's, we rob them of tomorrow. My hope is that because kindergarten is changing so much, we reflect on what it was that John Dewey said about continuing to move forward. But I hope that we can do that without robbing them of things like play and fundamental skills that will set them up for a successful future. Because as I stated at the beginning, everything I needed to know, I learned in kindergarten. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Talk with Erin Stock. I hope you join me next time.